I was going to say it looked like you were just hitting buttons, but you got it to work. So good afternoon and welcome everyone. Today is Thursday, March 23rd, 2017. This is the Dawson County Board of Commissioners convening for a general discussion. The North Valley Industrial Park is on the schedule. Commissioner Morgan and myself are here. However, Commissioner DeYoung is on his way, and I may have failed to mention it's 2 o'clock. So we're going to wait a couple minutes for him because I think he ought to hear this as well. I think we have a couple of guests that I'd love to invite up to the table, including all of you guys. Minus the Fords. Everybody in the room minus the Fords. Thank you so much. You guys, you're not on the airport board, so.
No, that's probably
the one he's not on. That's like the one you're not on.
Okay.
Yeah. Welcome back, sir.
Hi, thank you.
Hey.
Second time today. Fruitful.
He's been out of town, missing all the advisory boards. I was at this meeting this morning. I'm teasing.
So we're going to wait for Dan?
We are. Okay. It's only, I've been told, 2 minutes
out.
Again.
Larry Rhodes. Hi.
Hi, good to see you again, Larry. Kate Jackson.
Hi, Kate. Thank you.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
What was your name?
Matt Wadlington from Civil Westage.
Very cool. I'm Lily. Nice to meet you.
Wadlington.
You know, common spelling.
Yeah. Okay.
Spell it every day.
Yeah, I asked not for the plan, but the service area was.
Okay.
Because I actually had a request for one of so I was only looking at this area, and their questions are, where is the sewer?
Pastor Dixon? Chairman Dixon?
Well,
we're missing Commissioner DeYoung. How long has yours been a day? Should we fill him in when he gets here? You want to go right now? Because this could take a while. Or do you mind? What's your schedule?
I'll come back a little later. How long are you going to be in this portion of your agenda?
Half hour of it.
Half hour. Yeah, solid half hour.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see you in a half hour.
If I were him, I would have jumped on the opportunity.
Yeah, get in there and get it over with.
Yeah.
Like when Larry's right.
Yeah, try to go first, you know.
I was like old sailors, right? The stories just get
bigger and better.
Longer and more dramatic.
Every telling. I'll bring my parrot in next time.
Isn't that risky? Sounds like the beginning of any number.
Arr, yeah.
Simon, did you know that Cross Creek got oil?
We were sitting in a meeting in here when we all got the email. And we're
But they're staying there. They're not moving anything, so that's good.
These poor folks, they don't have the heart to tell me to shut up.
I don't know,
just keep wanting to tell them all this great stuff about what's happening.
I did reach out to Kurt.
Where those bruises were coming from.
And that's who she talked to, and they had explained that, you know, they were bought by a competitor who was trying to consolidate, but they're not going to move anything here. So let's hope it stays that way.
Yeah.
I know they have a hard time getting employees out there.
Yeah.
Is this the tip jar for the commissioners here?
Call it a tip jar.
It's for every minute we're late, they submit.
Well, I think we should just set it right here, don't you?
Really?
He's the only one who's contributed.
I see.
It is.
Didn't you put in a couple bucks?
Nope.
I want to know who put in 10.
I haven't
voluntarily
taken part.
Oh.
Not saying I haven't.
I was going to say, you.
I'm not saying I shouldn't have. I'm just saying I haven't.
The rule is if you're late and you didn't let us know that you were going to be late.
That's it.
So I think we're all late. We've got stuff going on.
I call Terry every morning and tell her I'm going to be late. For what? I don't know. I'm just going to be late.
This is a recording.
Well, you do commute farther than anybody.
Than most, yeah.
We have.
Yeah, silly man.
Yeah.
When did the new cameras go in the basket?
When did they or when will they?
When did they?
We had one put in probably about a year ago, but did they put in a new one? Another
one? The rotating ones, aren't those new? I'm kind of closest to them. Back wall closest to us.
We've had rotating ones the whole time I've been here, but there was there's like a compact, like really cool, doesn't look like it's 100 years old camera that was put in about a year ago. And we were going to buy another one, you know, the following year to replace all three eventually.
Is it creepy the way it follows you around everywhere in there?
Not exactly.
Right?
Well, it's only for certain meetings, too, right? It doesn't run all of them.
We don't televise all of them. We don't do planning commission meetings unless they have countywide impact. If there's specific land use issues, they don't. We just had the 4-H extension annual update, and that was supposed
smile.
To be the ambassador.
Smile, right? That's what you're going to say, right?
There's a glowing countenance.
So we have two new commissioners who don't know this issue as well, and pretend that I don't know it at all. So when we get into it, start from scratch.
Majority dictates to start from scratch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Americans have more time-saving devices and less time than any other group of people in the world. Probably true.
And most countries in the world take a siesta, and they do better. So I think we should get with the program.
Everybody thought that's what you were doing in the afternoons. You do have a really nice big couch in there. I've tried. I can't turn off. It's like, oh, it's pointless. Other than that, I kind of get groggy.
We had a very productive health meeting today, though.
Good.
That's exciting. He actually felt invigorated leaving. Oh, all right.
Something's moving.
I
$7, is that what it is?
No, he called.
Oh,
I mean, I should have let it go a little while.
Yeah, I left my wallet in the truck. I'm sorry.
Shucks.
No, I did leave my wallet in the truck, but
it's okay if you call.
All right. New rule. I didn't make it's okay if you call rule up.
Yeah, right.
I'm in the dish there.
I made it up when I was late this past week. So
thank you very much for your patience.
Well, we're just glad you're here. This is a pretty important topic, I think, for Josephine County. Let's go around and do introductions. So I'm Simon Hare, Josephine County Commissioner, and I don't have a liaisonship. I used to be Public Works Liaison.
Lily Morgan, and I am Air Force Liaison.
Dan DeYoung, I'm Public Works Liaison.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Rob Rance, Public Works Director.
Kate Jackson, Regional Liaison, representing the Governor's Office and Soretti today. We've all been part of this planning project for
my lifetime.
7, 8, and counting years.
Yeah.
Matt Wadlington from Civil West Engineering.
Glad you're here.
Claire Graves, Josephine County Airports.
And I'm Julie Schmoser, Josephine County Community Development.
Great.
You're her liaison.
That's true.
See, we each got one. Yeah. In order of how they sat.
A dog in the
cool.
fight.
That's cool. So I think, as Ms. Jackson has said, this issue has been on the plate for previous boards, and I've seen stuff going back almost 20 years. It's been a need for that portion of the community, because we have limited industrial lands in the city limits. We have limited industrial lands in the county that are actually shovel ready and can facilitate modern kind of development. And they may have components of other kinds of infrastructure, either power or water, but having that municipal kind of a sewer system that's required nowadays is really key to being shovel ready and being on that statewide list for places that are looking for, I just want to build something tomorrow. What do I have to do to get that there? And hooking up to well, sewer, power, all of those vitally important things. And so we've contracted with Civil West to bring this issue up to speed to where we can become shovel ready in our industrial and graduate off of that historic sewer system that we've all inherited from the school district, and really provide for the future uses. And the previous boards have said we really want a goal of a vision for the future of that industrial park, to where what we're putting in today won't just satisfy just tomorrow, but it will satisfy future developments way down the road. And so we're really glad you're here. Hopefully you've got good news and great progress.
Any news is good news.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
It's free.
you want me to do a little backstory and kind of go back 10 years?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I think that's important, setting, you know, the rates and what our system is currently and where it's going to go.
Sure. So bigger picture is the system that's out there now is the school district, Superior School District, maintains a system that collects for Manzanita, Fleming, and then the industrial park pumps uphill to it. Okay. And that agreement has been in place for decades. The system they've got dates to an RCC unit that they got rid of, so it was had miles on the tank when it even got there, and it's been out there for 31, 32 years now. So,
can we squeeze another tank?
Probably so. The school district has been aggressively repairing some of the components to it, but it is still, by and large, a very old system. The agreement we have with them allows for them to treat up to 15,000 gallons a day from the industrial park. Until about 4 or 5 years ago, that wasn't even a thought. It was bouncing along at about 3,500 gallons a day without much change. Well, Dutch Brothers, Krauss Kraft, Earl Ass, these folks have continued to increase and expand out there. We're now running at probably 10,000 gallons a day on average. So we still have some capacity, but it's moving that way. The other thing that's working against it is, you know, their system has lost some reliability. So I don't see the feasible option to say, let's just put a bunch of blue boxes out in the industrial park if things die over there. So proactively trying to look forward. The tenants of the park historically have paid a fraction of what the actual cost for that sewer was, and not until 3 years ago was able to convince the board that we need to start ratcheting this up. At the time, they were paying about $3,000 collectively. It was costing the county $20,000 a year. So now we're on the rotating board, getting most of that cost captured. Not all of it, but it's closer.
But we're not building a reserve at all.
No, no. We're effectively riding off residuals from selling lots in industrial park in the past. So that will be coming up at some point in the future, too. So 3 years ago, SoReady commissioned a study to see what was the need out there from an economic development standpoint. Where do we need to be looking for next steps? The overwhelming result of that was to say, yes, there needs to be a bigger global solution to fix the sewer needs out there. So that led to this, what we're calling a preliminary engineering report. And it's effectively what we need to do to have a kind of a unified document that EQ, USDA, RDA, I don't know, it's probably six other states that can, they want to look at this as they all know they're looking at the same thing to say, hey, we're potentially able to loan or fund or grant money towards that. So that's what the genesis of this is. What it hopes to talk about then is what type of system, what size to account for future capacity, and where do we put it? That's kind of the big three decisions we're going to have about this.
And I just
want
to mention, I think that there was a much grander vision back when Paradise Ranch might have been a reality.
Yes.
It was going to include residential as well and be located downhill from everything down at the Mandala.
Is that the one that was in the corner of Paradise Ranch?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were hoping to take all this, treat it, and actually use the water of the golf course.
Yeah, and then that, you know, then the ranch plans, you know, completely fell apart from the recession. And so this effort is really focused on the industrial needs. And happens to, you know, potentially be able to take in the school district as an alternative to continue to operate their own plant.
Now, would this system be able to cover everything from about where it's at all the way down through Merlin all the way out to Rinconada?
No.
So what we did when we looked at the overall project for SoReady 3 years ago was to look at the whole regional solution, and what we determined after doing cost estimates on a number of different systems was that the best bet was to do decentralized pods. So you would have a smaller collection and treatment system for the North Valley Industrial Park and the airport and school, and then a different smaller collection treatment system for Rendata, and a different smaller collection and treatment system for Paradise Ranch, if and when that were to come on, rather than doing a large collection system. The cost of doing that was over two or three times what it costs to do these smaller ponds. And so that was a recommendation of that feasibility study. And then basically the county came in with this to kind of look at that first pod being the North Valley Industrial Park and the airport and school.
So I have a question on the decentralized pods. Just so I understand this, the thought is get this done and then do the decentralized pods, or does the landowner do the decentralized pods? How do they tie into the system?
Within the area that and it's a lot of geography, what's uphill, what's downhill, but this pod would then serve the area that it's in. So if there are other homeowners or other property owners within the geographic area, that they would be planning to connect to this pond.
So let's just say, for example, Rendata needed sewer services. We would tell them to develop their own decentralized pod?
That would be the recommendation, yeah.
And so what's the location of pod number one, which would be sort of the industrial park? What's the low spot? Is the industrial park low in comparison to the airport? So you feed the airport, you go back to the industrial park, and then the schools. You said we pump to the schools now.
Yeah.
So will it be gravity from the schools back?
They're all very close. The thought is that the school would be able to gravity flow back to the industrial park. The pump station that's currently at the industrial park that pumps to the school would then turn and pump to the airport, and then the airport would be the low spot.
And so that's the low spot.
The airport's a low spot, but it's very not much elevation change. Yeah. So you still have to pump.
Yeah. And equally important is that's where the land is to dewater.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really like the way this all sounds. this is dewater. Yes. My goal, just to throw it out there, is not to use valuable, developable, or anything land to put this affluent on eventually. I mean, not the affluent, but just the water. To have that, because it just long term, we are so restricted by geography as far as where we can put employment lands, as the city calls them, industrial lands for the county. I don't want to, I'm young enough to think about commissioners being here in 30 years saying, why did Commissioner Hare allow us to encumber this developable land by a leach field? It's just like, no, don't put it there. Put it at the end of the road.
It is. Not knowing what kind of system you're proposing, is it very similar to, like, I don't know anything about sewer systems other than one in Grants Pass, which has the big tanks and the stuff that goes around, and Medford has the big tanks and all the fields out there and whatnot.
This would be much closer to a septic system for a house, where it would be treated. The tanks that are used to treat it are 10 feet by 20 feet and would be mostly underground, and you can start out with three or four of them and then add as more users came online, and then it would discharge the treated water underground like a septic does in a leach field. And as we were looking through this, and once the airport became a part of the study, the whole south end of the runway was an ideal place to have this giant leach field that would get rid of all the water.
It's the incentive program for eliminating short landings.
that's
right.
Funny.
Right. But by law and by FAA FIOC, there can be nothing above grade in the runway protection zone. So the approach end. So we've got flat 40 acres out there, and it turns out to be the fairly highest point on the airport is at that southeast end up toward Flaming Road, and so it's ideal for dewatering, as Bob says, Robert.
And just to get back to Julie's point a bit in terms of the decentralized pods, I think getting this first one in will be the toughest in some ways because while Rendata would dictate a separate pod, if somebody a block away says, hey, we've got a need, you wouldn't put it there. It's going to get into that whole cost break even of how much does it cost to put how many feet of pipe in versus putting any pod in. So that's you kind of have to put your first 10 stake in before you can figure anything else out.
I'm looking at doing this first thing, and if Rendata wanted to come on board, you don't know how Merlin's going to change in the next 15 years when Rendata says, yeah, we're going to come on, but God, look what else built over here. We can incorporate all of that. You may get to the point where do all of Merlin.
But does each pod have to have its own leach field?
Yes.
So that's the issue. The leach fields were the expenses.
Not in our case.
Requirement for land.
Yeah.
Requirement for room, I think.
Well, I'm getting ready to have to replace a leach field out of my grandma's house. So there's quite an expense that goes with that.
You said each pod requires its own leach field. Every pod requires a leach field. not its own, because if you've got the school tying into the industrial park and they're all central in the airport,
yeah,
pumping to that same leach field,
mm-hmm,
that's not the same thing as having a leach field for the North Valley Industrial Park and a separate one for the school and a separate one for the airport.
They're all using one pod.
The other pod was
Paradise Ranch. So
you're treating, you're pumping affluent to a centralized pod, and then the pod is
where we're collecting untreated sewer and transporting that to a centralized pod where it would treat it and then dispose it. The treatment site that we're looking at is just right across what street is that?
Monument.
Monument. So it's just right across from that,
yeah,
that area at the south end of the runway where we dispose. So it would be a matter of treating it and then piping it under the road and into that
Brookside.
We have a map of
what. Yes, I was looking to see if you located the.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that they're not each individual pod.
I have no idea.
So the other pod he said was.
I thought there was separate pods at each of the facilities.
Myrtle Gleason and Monument.
And then they pump to a centralized.
No, so the only thing like at the school or at the industrial park would be a pump station just to get it there. Then all the treatment happens at the central point.
Okay.
But that is because this study really focused on that first one.
Do you need another pump station at the end of the treatment
runway
to get the treated affluent water to the leach field?
It likely will have a small pump station, but it's a relatively inexpensive one because you're treated water.
I remember way back there was a grinder system at each of these contributing points. Is that included anymore?
The
pod.
Grandona
is way
over here.
That was one of the options that we looked at when we looked at the multiple different pods. And each one's going to have to be reviewed individually. For now,
reviews for what? For the input?
Yeah. Like Rendata, when it develops that pod, it may decide that doing a grinder system is the way to go. What we looked at for the industrial park, for the North Valley Industrial Park, it has a gravity collection system, so we would just be pumping that. The school has a gravity collection system, so those would just get pumped. The airport doesn't have anything, so what we're looking at for the airport is a step system, a septic tank effluent pump.
Yeah.
And so it would pump out of septic tanks.
To the drain field.
To the treatment where it would be treated. So that's a little bit different than the grinders. The grinders pump the solids as well as the liquid. So in this system, the airport properties would still be on a septic tank, although they wouldn't have individual leach fields. They would
have a centralized leach field.
They would have a centralized leach field. But they would still have to pump out the septic tanks every 5 years, however often it ends up being.
So what's in it for us is...
They're leaving through finding drawings, and it looks like on page 59 is one of the alternatives, I'm not familiar with the differences, but it may just be the type of treatment plant, not the map that's different on each of those pages.
I think we have 59 here.
Right.
Because 58's on the back, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so that's what we were looking at, which is different than that one. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Now, your advantage to doing that is that you will gain where you can't build over your present leach field, you will be able to, because it'll just be a tank. You now have a tank and a leach field.
The main advantage for us is that we will be able to bring in city water, which we cannot do now, and we have very limited well capacity at the airport. Some of the commercial developments there have their own wells. We share a well with the animal control, which is across the street, and pipes underneath Brookside, comes into the central part of the airport. We have no fire suppression water at all. So we have no fire hydrants. We have no ability to put out a fire other than, brave people with fire extinguishers. So The main advantage for us is going to be having piped in water, and we can't do that without a larger septic capacity, water handling system. So that's the advantage for us. And then we have all this bare ground at the southeast end of the runway, actually at both ends of the runway, but we're looking at the southeast end because that's the high ground of the airport, so it goes downhill across the runway center line.
And it's the undevelopable. The other end, we're looking at an extension sometime, so we wouldn't want to put it.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, we want to put 2,000 feet of runway.
Sewer and water are the two things that are very important because I watched Madras Airport go from tumbleweeds and a big long airstrip out in the middle of nowhere to really exciting things happen out there with Jack Erickson's Museum's there, and I think it's Peter Bill or Kenworth or somebody's putting in a research and development building there for testing wind tunnels on their trucks or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're just moving it because, and Erickson also moved his tanker production fleet there. There was 5 jets lined up on the runway when I was there that they were converting over to wildland fire tankers. So, I mean, he's bringing some business in there.
Yep.
The Madras stepped up and did the sewer and water out to there and paved the road out there. They just took right off. Mm-hmm. On its own.
There's a lot of pressure for development at the airport from commercial entities that want to build hangars and build office space, et cetera. And we can't really accommodate them right now.
And most stuff you don't know is like when the Dutch Brothers has one of their big functions with a couple hundred or even thousand people, they're bringing out a fleet of blue boxes.
They bring out 100, yeah, 100 port-a-potties.
It's the 21st century.
Pretty impressive.
Those are transgender port-a-potties.
Oh, yeah. Well, they got 8 different genders.
But no, I see real value there. Real value.
Yeah.
What is the proposed timeline on the project?
The next step for this plan is for DEQ to review and offer comments. We would revise this and make whatever corrections would be necessary. The plan would get approved this summer. We would recommend that the county look for funding avenues, meet with DEQ, with IFA, with USDA, at a one-stop meeting for funding options. The next step is a...
I have been under the impression that those kinds of conversations have already taken place by Commissioner Walker's reports previously.
They did. I think that that's why this is targeted at primarily industrial sources that USDA has had a... That was what you were aiming for at the time. It's been a couple of years, and now that you're ready to make a choice about getting into construction, you've got the organizational piece, the general services district, and the revenue sources, and then see what kind of money is there now.
Yeah, and keep in mind, and I don't know where we are with this, but federal involvement, like USDA, I'm thinking, or FAA, triggers NEPA. And so hopefully there's been some review or something started from an environmental perspective on that. Because that can get to be large and hairy.
Yeah. The primary and environmental standpoint would be in the next step, which is a pre-design report, which takes this concept and then starts looking at actual flows, pump sizes, actual treatment plant sizes. Gets much more detailed, and at that point, an environmental report would be. I can't see how it wouldn't be required.
Yeah, right. And I'm saying, for example, if I had approached the FAA with a proposal to put in a large handling septic system for the airport and for all the future businesses that are on the master plan, the grant that might result from that would require an 18-month timeline minimum for NEPA and detailed design, and would likely be a 2-year project all on its own. So prior to sticking the first shovel in the ground.
And that's probably where we're at. Doing pre-design is probably a 10 to 12 month process, and then you do the final design. So if everything were to just domino from here, we'd be looking at a construction in the summer of 2019.
Right, but the real consideration here is that they've done cost estimates on several different types of package plans, and so the pre-design, you'd want to have selected your choice.
Right, we would.
The next stage
we would go with the recommended alternative, and we would start working with suppliers and contractors and developing real sizes, real plans, real costs. What we have is our engineers' estimates, which are our best stab at it, and have a pretty hefty contingency thrown in there. And as we get closer, that contingency goes down, and our confidence goes up in our costs. Hopefully, those costs remain the same or go down. But as we get closer, that gets more fine-tuned and more known.
So I have a couple questions. So this is sized, assuming this is at full capacity, full development?
We have looked at what the size would be required if it was at full capacity. What we would recommend in terms of developing it is developing it for what it is now or small growth. And the nice thing about the system that we have is it's very modular. The system that we've recommended is modular. So as growth occurs, you can add another treatment unit. Like I said, we'd start out with three or four. And as growth occurs and more flows come, you can add another pod very easily. The size of the leach field that we looked at the end of the runway is sized for the full build-out. The pump station would be sized for the full build-out. But the treatment units themselves would be, we would do our best to just keep those at what you need and not a whole lot more.
Except we want to expand it soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, so if we had somebody come in who wanted to buy this parcel, for example, and put something out there, what do we tell them right now? Just put in a regular septic, and then later we're going to connect their tank to this?
No, we would want to stay ahead of that by far enough that anyone can come in and start right up and have capacity. So I would say once you're at 75% capacity of the treatment unit, you start planning for the next one so that you're always ahead of the need.
Because we actually have people out there looking at sites there to develop at the current time. So
what are those costs and how long do they take to put in? Because if
you want to back up to look at it, the table of contents has page 100 as the recommended discussion of the recommended project. It kind of depends what lots you're talking about.
Honestly, I would think that we would want to put a system in right now that could handle the whole park. And then we have the ability to develop the whole park. I don't want to undercut us when our whole goal in doing this is to build economic availability at both the airport and at the industrial park. Why put something in that we're going to be
growing? You can't afford it, Commissioner Morgan. You can't write it. Who's writing that check?
Well, if we're going to go out for funding right now, why not ask for what the need needs to be?
That sounds good. I don't know that that's exactly what, I don't know what the funding's going to look like.
So
I think our ideal would be absolutely to do that. It would be money isn't there to do that.
Well, yeah,
I think the public would think it's a waste of money if we don't go for what we can.
I think the planning function shows a high likelihood of build-out within the next several years. Then that's enough to hang your hat on.
So I'll just, we have somebody looking at this piece, which is county-owned, and of course it has some access issues. And we have, if they're also going to check out this piece, it's the second one in 2 weeks that's interested in that industrial park. Those are the only available properties. Everything else is developed. So to me, it seems pretty easy to just add those, but of course, I'm not an engineer.
Well, and
but those are are those lots within the industrial park?
They are.
So even the minimum project would include those lots. It's a matter of.
Oh, then I misunderstood.
Yes.
Includes the whole
industrial park
where this
building
is. Yes. Okay. So then it already does that, which is what. So what's stage two? So above and beyond might be like some additional development where only goes to four shifts a day, kind of a thing. So you get more employees per acre.
And there's other properties at the airport that Larry's indicated that may come online years down the road.
Okay, that wasn't clear because I think I was reading that it was just what we had as a footprint right now developed.
How long does it take to put in another unit?
Weeks.
Treatment unit. Just weeks. So, in other words, if we had somebody interested, as you're saying, we're not holding them. Well, 2 years from now, we'll have another one of those.
That could be within the permitting.
I misunderstood.
With a commitment, we can do that in 2 weeks. Yeah, by the time you get, time you're ready to flush the first toilet, we're all done.
Yeah, and all the infrastructure to put a different lot in is all done.
All the piping, the pump capacities, and everything are already done in the first go around for full build out. So all you're adding is the production pods or whatever you call it, production drums or units or whatever that is.
But there is, to get back to Commissioner Harris' point, there will be a decision that the county will have to make where, just using big numbers to say this project is going to be $3 million, we get some granting, best case. So we're financing $2.5 million over 20 years at about 3%. That's like $170,000 a year. So based on current rates, industrial park, we're probably getting in $50,000 a year for sewage and we're at full 100% charge next year. Say $50,000 from the school district, say $20,000 from Larry Macy's. So there's still $50,000 out there we're not recapturing on that payment stream, which may be okay. We just need to decide what our taste is to float that for enough years till there's infill.
Well, there is the, I don't know how much is still left in the account, you know, that can buy you a couple of years until those other, you're saying $50,000 of revenue off of current. So you, if you added a couple of people into there, you might...
It might not take much build.
It might shore it up pretty close.
Cash neutral, yes. Yeah. So. And keep in mind, I have to say most of these are going to loan at like 3% probably. I mean, they're...
The sale from that could pay it.
They're heavily subsidized rates. So when in doubt, I'd say go ahead and bigger.
Our other IFA loan is 1%.
Yeah.
On the DEMIC.
So when in doubt, go ahead and big.
Do we have an MOU from the city of Grants Pass on their water system that they're going to put water in if we do this? Or is that something that the city that we're going to have to...
They have to sign an annexation agreement when they sign up for water, but I think it's available to the industrial park. That was
the industrial park has water.
That was
the reason. I'm talking about, water out to the airport for your standby, get those folks off the well.
I don't think that's included in the IGA. And we'd have to negotiate that with the city.
Right.
That was not the original intent of what they put that out.
This report is about choosing which type of package plant, essentially.
Is city water going to go out to school? I mean, it goes right by there, going to...
Mm-hmm. It goes all the way out to Paradise, the far end. There's a fire hydrant right there at the end. I would imagine, I mean, it's something we're going to have to facilitate, but... They're dumping water out of that reservoir already. I think it should be in the city's best interest. It isn't going to have a client customer base other than that area. The expansion of the UGB, I don't know where that map, it doesn't include, well, it does do that down Highland. Is it Highland? Whatever that road is.
It's basically exit 61 UGB.
Yeah. Well, it's, right there.
But they are dumping water, and I asked, in fact, I asked Commander Kubik over there, why, when Dollar General went in, there's a 16-inch water main going right by in front of it, and they couldn't hook on. I don't think he ever gave me an answer. Because, I mean, they would want standby water. That's where the City of Grand Pass makes their money, industrial side, is the standby charge. That can get pretty spendy, depending on the size of the building and what it's used for. So... And you're right, they dump water out of there because they don't have enough movement through the reservoir. They've had it there for 25 years, 30 years. They've never, ever, it's all there, but they don't do anything with it. I think
we could figure out a way to make that work. That was always our expectation. So there's a lot to do on this. So for me, I think next steps, I think that the previous board was right, that now is probably the time to really get somebody who can facilitate this project on behalf of the county that really has done one of these before and can coordinate with you guys and make all the players, the city included, as a part of this thing and hash out a Gantt chart about when stuff's going to happen, when we need to apply. The FAA federal regulations on that are just even what you think you know. You probably come up against something else because As Larry's built a fence and done an east side taxiway, but he hasn't put in a sewer system on an airport yet.
Right. So, other than the
in my experience, too, the cultural resources are also a time consuming.
Tribes, architectural, archaeological.
How many do we do with the fence? 7 or 11? Just like every study that you could possibly do, historic, everything.
Is it a burial ground?
Threatened species, little flowers,
flat faced rock.
Yep.
At the end of that runway.
So I think that would probably be our next step, is to put out for that and retain somebody. I'd like to know how much we have left in the account for the North Valley. You guys know there's an account set up based on property sales in that industrial park. The revenues have to go back into facilitating development improvements, all of that. So the revenue from that property can go back to that, but that's the only thing it can go back for. So I would like to set up, you know, a contingency element in that fund that, you know, you don't spend every dime. You've got $250,000 in reserve for something that happens that nobody expected, rather than, because the contingency of everything other than those contingencies is the general fund, which should not be.
Well, every system wears out eventually. So if it can't
capturing depreciation.
Correct.
We're working at that. Rob's done a great job of getting those rates with a lot of pushbacks, some from others, some not from others, on capturing the actual costs and getting it set up to where there's a revenue stream to be paying for that, because basically the sewer system out there was free for a long time. Pretty close.
There will be an eventual discussion with the school district too. They've been a bit ambivalent at times because their fear being they don't know what it's going to cost, but the reality is if we pull out, we're floating about 65% of the school district's system right now, because just based on volume each month in the industrial park is about 2/3 of volume. So if we pull out, they suddenly still have a full FTE person out there that they're trying to pay for with 1/3 of volume. So I think the math is going to probably
prod them along. It's incumbent for them to participate in ours. And that system isn't functioning to the degree that DEQ would like, so they'll be forced in it eventually to go in that direction.
That's true. The permit was renewed recently, and one of the new requirements is to monitor the flow in the creek. If this the treatment plant goes to land application to spray irrigation in the summer, and then it starts discharging the creek in the fall, and the time when they can start discharging in the fall depends on the creek level rising. So that's the monitoring that they're gathering data on right now, and they are still having trouble meeting their requirements.
I
don't know specifically about this winter. I don't see the monthly reports. It's more about how long can they continue discharging and keeping it operational. But the conversations have been long and back and forth about whether the school district wanted to maintain their NPDES permit or whether they would be willing to come into a larger district that the county or another board operated.
Well, and for them, they'd be distributing those fixed costs over a broader, as opposed to them having to maintain everything by themselves. That's expensive,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's going to come to an end someday. So
we did an estimate based on the possibility of the industrial park going alone, the industrial park with the airport, the industrial park and the school, or all three included. The option of having all three included is the best cost alternative for the county. For the school, it looked like it was going to be, you know, the school is cheaper now than they would be if they
signed up.
But like Rob said, once the county's out of there, the school's going to be
a lot more attractive.
It's going to be, their costs are going up, by the way.
Something's going to change. It can't stay the same.
Mm-hmm. And the state didn't take into account the age of the equipment, right? The unforeseen capital outlays we know they're going to have over the next 4 years.
It did take into account. Last year, 2 years ago, Mike Bowling went through and said,
right,
all these things need to be done. And I believe it did take into account a lot of that.
That's the unforeseen thing. 35-year-old system.
Is there any long-term liability remediation that they're going to have to do to decommission their facility? I don't think you probably looked into that too thoroughly, but think there's that much? Yeah, you just roll up the tarps, take a bulldozer, and should be fine. Okay. Is there anything we need to know that we don't already, haven't heard from you? I'm going to ask that general full disclosure question. Tell us what we need to know that we didn't tell us already.
I think the high points have been covered here. Our recommendation moving forward is that you go with this approach, having a central pod at the airport property, and getting the school involved makes it cheaper for you, for the airport.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Do you write that down about the steps that are necessary in order to get the city water to the airport and to have the school connected? Or is that something that'll be like the first requirement of a project manager to say, what are all the moving parts and where are all the holes? How do we connect all the dots?
Yeah, we say if the school's on board, you do this.
So you give options that'll guide the project manager to say, okay, we're going to go forward with this option. So we need an IGA with the school that spells out this. We need a city IGA to get water there. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't there? I no doubt out of this sewer treatment plant for the city, there's a certain amount of wash down things that takes a lot of water. Does this system take any water from outside? If we, you know, we're on a well out there, and if that well goes dry, all of a sudden our sewer system doesn't work?
No. It doesn't. Generally, in a lot of sewer systems, they'll use wash down water. They'll use their treated water as the wash down if they have to, if clean water is available. The only thing that this would need water for is for washing the screen, which again they could use the treated water as that wash water.
Where does the treated water go? Is it obviously doesn't go to the leach field if it's good enough to be used for wash down, or does it all go?
Yeah.
And it's a further, and the leach field is a further part of the treatment.
So, I mean, how did the county find the money to do a project manager for DEMEC? Because that is a really helpful process.
Yeah, we paid for it out of the county's contribution to that project. So there was, I believe, a certain match requirement. It was seed money for the project. It was just we understood the importance of it, the long-term liability. So we paid for the fence outright. I think it was $20,000. And but the city was going to say we were not going to keep responding to people going and breaking in there, and we knew we were going to have a fence anyway. So there was certain startup costs that the county just bore, but I think we've got that fund, and that would be a logical part to start with. It's certainly integral to economic development to have this project, so there could be a partnership with that funding stream. It's certainly a priority for me that we lean into this pretty aggressively. Talking about the timelines at the airport's talking 2 years, I don't want to do another study without somebody at the helm saying this study is answering all of these questions that are going to be, you know, integral to seeking financing from this person. Is going to want to know these questions, even though you don't think they're very important. That's what they want to know for you to get that grant. So we ask those questions in the next round of specific studies on size and cost, pumps and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, and I've expressed this to Commissioner Heron too. I really think we need a project manager on this. I mean, it just seems to keep dragging on. You know, and I've only been here for 7 years.
No fault of anyone. I mean, we all are champions of this project, but I think she's right.
Staff's not skilled. Well, Rob might be, but I don't think he has the time. We just need somebody to solely be in charge of that project.
To kind of drive it on a regular basis, and that's really the only way I saw the DEMEC campus being successful, having been a blight since 2007, I think, since the charities walked away and the hospital walked away. It just deteriorated, and nobody was like, well, I don't know what to do. Hire somebody who knows what to do, and they'll do it. So, And they avoid the missteps that I think delay. You know, why did you do that? You should have done this. I don't know what those things are, I mean, even with well-intentioned people.
That doesn't answer where anything is like, because this has just been the wastewater treatment concepts, the putting water out, and that the IGA is, that's obviously a part of the
yeah,
project.
Right.
But it's not this,
it's not in their wheels of conflict.
Right.
So
we need a taskmaster.
Well, this is the logical breakpoint now, so we can, up to this point, and even now the county can say, you know, hey, we don't have a whole lot of can, we're walking away, but I mean, now is, you know, this is the route we need to take.
Yeah, I don't want to avoid the opportunity to say that, not that I told you so, but we could have been working on the water IGA, getting that through the city's process, understanding exactly what the FAA is going to require, so that if there was a question when you were doing your evaluating at the very high level, that we were exploring that. You know, all of those questions that we don't know, and integrating this picture from the very beginning is not a bad idea. It doesn't cost you much if there's not much for the project manager to do. But that they understand, now we're going to have to spend a little bit of time in bringing them up to speed on this exact presentation that you just made, so that they are understanding and they're at the same place we are. So I can see it both ways, but it is what it is. We are
here now. One of the things now that may serve itself up as a solution here is that I have a master plan update scheduled in our CIP, our capital improvement plan, with the FAA. And one of the things a master plan for Grants Pass, and
because we just did IVs, right?
Right. Well, we've just done both of them, but now that we have the runway extension in play and on the CIP for the first time in history, the FAA has a process they want to go through, which is a 2-year master plan update. Then they do a 2-year environmental and engineering design, and then they'll do the 2-year construction. Okay. So we're looking at a 5 to 6 year horizon just for the runway extension. However, a master plan update is all-encompassing. It's everything having to do with that airport, and there will be engineering talent that's paid for 90% by the FAA to do that work. So if we throw the septic system, the water from the city, everything into that master plan, it's going to receive civil engineering attention, whether it wants it or not. You know, so that may be a way that we can get that work done and have sort of a third-party contractor, kind of a project manager to drive that.
I kind of thought an AIP was supposed to last for a little while, like 10, 20 years.
A master plan, yeah. The FAA wants a fresh master plan every 10 years.
Okay.
However, because we were able to push the runway extension in a timeline that is shorter than that, they're willing, and they in fact require a new master plan.
If you've done a threshold of development in your master plan, it triggers it potentially early, like the east side taxiway, your hangars on the other side there, whatever side of the road that is.
Yeah, northeast.
Sounds good. Well, thank you very much. I think this has been helpful, long overdue, but you know it happens when it happens, so we'll pick it up and move it forward.
So just to be clear, if I have somebody who wants to develop out in there, they can tie into what's there, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's been right-sized already. Yeah. Unless they're going to put 200 people
on.
When this is built, you folks are in a decision-making mode next. This is not that session, right? But to move this forward, the commission decides which alternative to pursue, and the next step is preliminary engineering and look for funding from IFA or some or another.
You said decision making. What exactly? Because I felt that there was like one solid proposal with options of bringing the airport on and the high school.
And
the
there was a recommended alternative, assuming that the school's on board.
But that's what the pricing, you evaluated the pricing and the life cycle cost analysis for several different types of package plants and with the school district or without the school district. So there's a recommended plan, but that's for you to choose.
Okay.
The one that's most cost effective.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to add in that DEQ's reviewing this plan right now. One of DEQ's concerns right away is that they want to see site analysis of the drain field site. Mm-hmm. they're going to be asking for that.
You can do that.
Right,
you can
now.
Go ahead and do that now. That's actually been instruction for the last 2 years. The reason
it
hasn't been done, I think, the site evaluation is the amount of drain field area, and it's a detailed evaluation for the installation.
Yeah, they do soils analysis and water drainage.
Yeah. And the reason it hasn't been done was because we didn't have it sized, right, to know how much area.
Okay.
Civil West has done some initial testing, but not the full site evaluation.
Yeah, and part of this report was to find the site.
Yeah, site, right, exactly.
Determine which site
now
would be.
We found the site.
Yeah.
You have it sized for capacity, but you don't have it sized for area yet. Correct. You get your soils analysis.
Yeah, we've made estimates
exactly.
based on some preliminary soils analysis that we've done. And we did dig some test holes, but what DEQ requires is more.
They want more than that, yeah.
Right.
And throughout that site.
You actually won't get much more feedback. You actually won't get much more feedback from DEQ on this report until you have the site evaluation. Because that's the last piece.
The crux.
I mean, you can choose any of these systems. They're all still package plant with a drain field, and you need to demonstrate for yourselves that you've got the area necessary for the volumes that you're planning for to install that.
I would think that almost bringing a program manager in play first would be appropriate. So they're a part of this before any decisions are made of any alternatives. If I say program manager, that should say project manager.
Yeah, I think that's the next logical step.
I think you definitely want that person in place prior to the one-step meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I would think so. Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like that's the next step.
I don't think any of us, you're probably qualified, but I'm not qualified to sit in a meeting like that.
I can tell you how our sewer plant works, but it's not going to help me in that meeting. I need a project manager.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for all your work. Thank you for being here. Glad you're partnering.
Yeah, so I'll get the message back to Mary to get moving on to the next step.
Well, and then we have to go, right? Mary's.
Mary Baker, she's. Yeah, there's two of them now.
I think we're good. Do we have something? Oh, we want to meet with us.
Mike wants to meet with
us. I thought when you said us, it was
yourself. We have one more thing that's being asked.
Yeah, I'm just asking about how long it'd be.
Yeah,
probably 10 minutes. But
so far. So we're going to get around to experiment out there.
Do you want me to come down? Or?
General,
you guys can go into my office if you want. Yeah, just go in there and chill if you like. Pastor Dixon, you're up, sir. Senate Bill 3.
Yes, sir. Where do you want?
Where are you?
Sheriff,
feel comfortable.
Close enough to run back. Appreciate the opportunity to serve the Board of Commissioners as the Chairman of the Mine Advisory Committee. This is an ongoing educational process, as we all have learned. Just an update. I was doing some more research on Josephine County. There's all kind of databases out there, but I think you'd find this is of huge importance. And I'll send this all to you. According to some of our historical mining archives, the total mining record of Josephine County was 13,122 records of mining claims on public land managed by the Bureau of Land Management. Currently, we've got about 1,033 active mining claims. The U.S. Geological Survey has posted on their records about 1,691 records of mineral deposits of various kinds in Josephine County. So I'd say offhandedly that Josephine County has a history of mining. Senate Bill 3 that's going at the state violates, according to mining law, and we've submitted records of mining law to the commissioners and also to the legislators, to the Senate Natural Resource Committee, their last mining advisory committee. We posted quite a bit of mining law records that's official for you guys. You got good solid ground to stand on. This is all vetted and certified. One of the issues that we brought in our mining advisory committee that's been submitted for your consideration is that mining land patent is real estate. So here's a couple of things I want to put in our record today for your benefit and ours, because we're trying to make sure our county commissioners are on absolutely solid ground whenever you look at mining issues on county land. And I just want to say this because I think it's useful. I'm not being cheeky or trite or pragmatic. This is just a matter of fact. This is right out of the Constitution, Article 6. It says the senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several state legislatures, all executive and judicial officers, both the United States and the several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. So every public servant that serves is bound by the Constitution. Period. All right? So let me go to the Fifth Amendment, the last clause. It says that citizens nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Now, I know there's some people who say, well, the Senate Bill 3 is not taking private land for public, but the 14th Amendment says, nor shall any state, imagine Oregon's still a state, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection under the laws. They were going to vote today at the Natural Resource Committee on the Senate Bill 3 that by prohibition of using mining equipment, of mechanical equipment, and I've talked to every mining group across the state, and the unanimous consent of our own, I would say we have a very strong mining advisory committee here in Josephine County. It's well staffed with certified professionals from the industry and people that know the law. We got people that sit in our mining advisory committee know the law better than most any lawyer in the state because they've had to. And what Senate Bill 3 is, it violates coordination. They did not coordinate, according to my knowledge or anybody on our committee, did anybody in the state of Oregon coordinate with Josephine County in any way, shape, or form on these laws that they're trying to pass. They didn't ask for our input. In fact, they refused it, and we submitted to them and ignored it.
These are laws at the state level?
Yes. There's federal law and state law protects mine. They're ignoring it. They're ignoring coordination that our county attorneys asked for in writing. I think there may even be litigation going on. So here's the point. We're asking as a mining advisory committee that the Josephine County Board of Commissioners lodge official complaint to the chairman of the Natural Resource Committee, I think it's Denver, that this Senate bill and any of its ilk, these takings, moratoriums, set-asides, and mental withdrawals have not been done according to federal or state law. are the Constitution. And they are taking Josephine County property away from people that's been claimed, paid for, or filed, and it is real property according to Hawaiian law. So there's several violations, certified violations. And I would encourage all the county commissioners in the whole state to stand up against what they're doing, because effectively, and this is my end of my report, incrementally they've been taking mining law. And the end run of this is no mining. No sand, no gravel, no dirt, no caddy litter, no nothing. If you see the pattern, and they're using gold mining as their scapegoat, because it's, in their mind, it's not essential. But if you look at the impact, they're closing down mining across the board. So this becomes obstructive, coercive, everything, any amount of adjectives you want to use. And also, I'll resubmit this. In 1938, Dr. Baldwin, an eminent scientist of the day, was engaged by the Oregon legislature to investigate salmon fishing on the Rogue River. He wrote a book, and I gave you a copy, and they have copies all across the state. I've sent out probably 400 emails all the way to Washington. So Dr. Baldwin said that there are things that impact salmon. In 1938, they had several canneries up and down the river. They were net fishing at the mouth of the river. There was new farms opening up. They were using pesticides and fertilizer, and they were paving the roads and oil. And he gave a long list in that report that we've given publicly. They come out of the state archives. This come off of Dogami's archives right now. It's right there at the state. So what I'm trying to say to you is, commissioners, you've got every kind of bedrock ground without any fear other than the state may think you're a little negative, but I'm positive that they're doing this, and I'm positive it's wrong, and I'm positive that it hurts our county, and I'm positive it's going to take about $6 million a year out of our economy. And I know there's potential to grow that. There's plenty of mining laws that protect the environment. There's plenty of mining laws that protect the salmon. There's plenty, and they're not satisfied. They want the rivers for trout fishermen and rafters. No equal access, no coordination, no negotiation. They've just decided to shut it down, and I think that's a huge outrageous atrocity.
When you're talking, go back to slide one, you said there was how many thousand mining claims
in the history of our county?
Yeah.
Your quote was 13,123 with 1,033 active. And then 1691 recorded mining.
This is according to a mining website called The Diggings. They do research. Josephine County, just a quick overview, according to this group, and there's all kinds of different groups, but I find the independent groups are more historical and more accurate than some of the government groups from the research I've done. They tend to clean up their records, and this is a compilation of different history groups. 13,123 records of mining claims on public land over the history of the county. You know, some of these claims come in place, and then they were dropped. But the point is, there's a huge amount of activity out there. And there's currently over 1,000 active mining claims. I would say to any county in the state, if you had 1,000 chicken farmers in your county, that would be a significant industry.
Now, my question is, what happens to a mining claim when it's not kept up and kept active? So that leaves 12,000 mining claims out there that are on public land.
It could be reclaimed.
They can be reclaimed. In other words, it is not saying...
There's a huge bunch out there that could be reclaimed.
So in other words, if I went in to some map and I said, boy, here's one out here on
BLM
LR2, I want to file for that claim.
BLM LR2000, you can go in there, put in township range, whatever, and you can claim stuff. Now, yeah, it's out there, but here's the problem. The bureaus, without Congress and without the state, and certainly not the counties, have added more and more and more restrictions without congressional law, without even state law, to a point that if you do get a claim, they don't even follow their own regulations any longer. They arbitrarily, capriciously obstruct where they've economically made the industry here extremely.
I could get a claim up beyond a lock gate, for instance, and they don't have to let me through that lock gate.
Well, it's even worse. They come on there and they tell you every little thing you can and can't do. You know, case in point, the sugar pipeline was a patented claim up on Glace Creek from back in the 1800s. And they were there a long time before the BLM. And when the BLM decided they were going to throw them off their claim, it caused a huge ruckus. And George Backus and some of the local boys said, well, you know, we're not real sure we're going to let you do that. But they were going to throw them off their claim, tear out all their equipment, tear out all the buildings, and then say, we'll see you in court, and then you can go back. And that's a taking straight up. Destroys them.
So I have a couple people waiting.
Okay, thanks.
No, I think that you brought a good point here. For me, you asked us to send a letter to the chair of the Natural Resources Committee protesting their approval.
I would ask them to put it on hold until they prove to our satisfaction across the state that this bill meets all the criteria that we've
So my experience with the legislature, they don't care what our legislators think or what our commissioners think.
That's exactly right, sir.
And that happens at the federal level as well. So
yes, sir.
With the resource management plan, I know trees and timber. I don't know mining as well.
Yes, sir.
But it's pretty much very similar. We have
exactly.
Very old laws that govern.
Should that stop us from writing a letter?
No, I don't think so. But I think that establishing a game plan is to litigate after Senate Bill 3 passes.
Correct, I agree with that.
And you put in a class action lawsuit of
yes,
all
sir.
Of these. So I'm not, you know, I actually, when the resource management plan by the BLM passed and it was as bad as it was great. You know, there wasn't any margin about how in error they were deviating from the law. The farther they err from it, the more substantial your ability to argue that they were in error is. If they're close and it's in within the margin, it's in the bubble, it's like, really, you're gonna squabble over that?
Mm-hmm.
You want them to put in. Their weakness is the fact that they're taking and they're going so far. And so don't look at it as a bad thing. And we should express our opposition from the standpoint that they didn't coordinate with us. They haven't. The legislature isn't required to coordinate. Let me just spell that out pretty quickly. Congress doesn't have to coordinate with us. The agency has to coordinate with us.
BLM.
That's what flipped the BLM. Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife.
So
I'm not sure about coordination on the state level. I know it on the federal level.
I don't think any of us has ever crossed this threshold in the history of the state. Because what, in my mind, what they're about to do, if they pass SB3, they're going to cross the threshold that's unbelievable. Because they are going to take takings. I talked to Rich Sangster today, the head of OCAPA and the Oregon Mining Association, and he said that in the rough draft, and we were waiting to see how they do this, in the original draft, they were going to grandfather in the existing clause of the claims, which meant that almost every claim worth claiming is claimed.
Mm-hmm.
And if they grandfather them, we were like, hey, okay, whatever. But no, they're not going to do that. There's no grandfather. They're going to take away everybody's mining rights.
And honestly, you want them to do that. Because
you have grounds to
what we've found is, like, today the ground may not be viable or economical, but tomorrow, different technologies.
We don't know what's out here.
No.
And
to take it off the books.
We haven't done a mineral index on rare earth, strategic, tritium, and a bunch of these things that may be right here and probably is right here. They could be a very lucrative, low-impact, environmentally viable industry, and they're closing up our... These moratoriums they've set in place are most strategically where those rare earths would probably be located.
Right.
So these Obama moratoriums and all this set-aside, Trump needs to turn around and say, no. And if there is going to be mining out there, of course we don't want to violate our environment. We don't want to create a mess. But we do need access to our natural resources as our contention. And that's just our report to the Board of Commissioners.
And one thing that I was found interesting for the attended that one meeting down at the Riverside is then the guy said, hey, they were mining gold and they stopped mining gold because it was not, you know, you couldn't make it work for $4 an ounce. The gold is still there, and now it's $1,200 an ounce.
Well, it's even worse than that. It was artificially stopped in the 1942 War Powers Act.
Yeah.
Now, all non-essential mining was closed by government. We were at our peak. If you look at the graph, we were up to 43 million here at $20 an ounce, and it's straight down.
Wow.
Wow. If you go 43 million a year and do it in modern terms, it's still the same as iron barrel, but it's millions of dollars. And we're not saying we're ever going to go back to that level of mining. That's not even the issue. The issue is they're really taking people's land and opportunity and history without just cause and violating the Constitution by not paying. If the state wants to pay all the miners for their land and what it's worth and certify it, survey it, have it assayed, and say you've taken my mine. And I say, well, I got 20 million in reserves. You want to buy it? I say to the state legislature, let's get it on. You shook out the check, you can have it. I didn't want to dig it anyway. But for them to take it, well, nothing is a violation of the Constitution. And I don't think any Oregon law can violate the Constitution. None of these miners can go to court. What the state's really saying is sue us. Because they know these guys, our old folks here, are not going to go up that train.
Well, the county doesn't have a problem.
A class action suit with deep pockets and a coalition might prevail, particularly from the administration. So if you could do anything, what would that be?
Well, I'm not as familiar with Senate Bill 3 as I need to be, and I need to talk to Wally about maybe what are the nexuses of the legal parameters that we could exercise.
Well,
you're not doing
if your commissioners aren't able to directly, I can tell you I've been barking at them as the chairman of my advisory committee.
Yeah, and I think that's great. You know, that
so
almost
you can say, hey, our committee was telling you guys and you weren't listening to them. So
the only way we're going to shut him up is to do something.
No, I don't think that's going to shut him up. And my goal isn't to do that. It's to
I just want to make sure we don't shoot ourselves in the foot and later the citizens go, well, why didn't you do something?
You know,
miss an opportunity.
I really see it being coordinated through probably Carl Wilson's office of him, you know, what could we do? What are your objections? And how can we articulate that on your behalf, you know, to echo, to support your efforts, Senator Baerchuk?
I sent him a letter just like that this morning. I'm sure if he got one from you guys like that, it would resonate.
Okay.
Because he knows that we're a little crazy. We're nuts, but we're screwed in the right.
You guys can continue. I have to use the restroom, but if you're done.
Right.
So the request is that we as a board, I had one other issue I needed permission from you guys on, but I can wait till you get back.
No, go ahead.
I need permission to send something out to my agency. I had previously brought up to you concern over local nonprofits seeking funding, working with youth when they have somebody affiliated that is dangerous. I would like to, on behalf of the board, send something to our county staff via email, so there's a written document asking that they cease to conduct business with them so long as this is in play that way.
I know you're being vague on purpose.
Because of...
But once you send that, I'm sure
so,
you could probably
so
find a capacity.
The circumstance that is public information is that we have a registered sex offender who is a board member of a local nonprofit who is seeking funding to do children activity. So long as this registered sex offender is a part of this local nonprofit, I believe that we as a county cannot engage in any funding of them. And I would like to... I can act as my own person, as my own background, but I don't want to... out of turn speak on behalf of the board.
No, but I think you can as a liaison say that it's not in that committee, if that's what it's going through, is best interest to do that, and you can refer any kind of allocation that they're looking to try to make, refer that to the board and we will deny it.
There we go.
So that's what I would suggest you do. Let them do their own process, but if they err in your recommendation, you can bring that issue to the board and we'll fix it.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I am not stepping out of my boundaries of keeping you two informed, that I'm trying to be very careful about these steps, but also protecting the county's involvement.
If that way works for you, I think that's been historically the way we would recommend going about it. Leave the process intact at the committee level, but there is nothing that happens at the county's department program office level that any one of us can't say, you know what, I think we need to take this to the board before you guys make that decision.
So part of why I'm bringing it up is because when I brought this to legal's attention, they said please send an email representing the board to the staff members. I didn't feel comfortable representing the board without bringing it to you.
Good. Great. I think I'm tracking. So.
Okay.
Cool. You asked for yours. You got your street plug.
What's that?
You got your street plug taken care of?
I'm going to get
the other issue that
I left direct from this meeting and went up to the Republican Central Committee luncheon. So
we've referred this issue to the dog issue, changing hands a little bit. to a hearings officer, I want to talk a little bit for 2 minutes about contingency, about what happens if that hearings officer isn't available, there isn't one receptive to the idea. Then I think the decision of the board stand, because I'm out of town, and you guys, Commissioner DeYoung, you're going to be on call, you're acting in the absence, and so that's a lot of pressure for you to have to maneuver that, and it's not fair to the proponents to have to wait until I get back.
When are we going to hear about the hearings officer issue?
I haven't heard back from legal whether or not they were able to make contact with them, but
I
they
truly,
reached out to multiple.
I truly
parties.
Feel that they will not object to having a decision wait if it means that the life of the dog is extended. They would have an issue of if we rush to terminating before you got back. So if it were a question of it's not fair that we didn't have the hearing in time.
I've made my decision already. I don't expect to change that. So
I
that's
hear
what
you.
That's what I wanted to put out there.
The question I have is the 21 days. Do we, if they want to pay for the 21 days and go the limit on it?
They haven't been asked about the payment element, and we didn't address that. So right
okay.
now, it's I believe it's on us until we readdress that with them.
Okay, well, the law, I think the law states that that dog basically stays for 21 days. They have 21 days
to appeal
to file with judicially. And if they have that 21 days and the dog stays in custody for 21 days, there's a certain amount of money involved in that. If they wish to do that, I'm okay with the dog living in custody for that 21 days. And you're right, if they wait the 21 days, they're not putting it down. And that could certainly happen, but for us to say, okay, tomorrow we're going to euthanize the dog any way you look at it, then you know I don't know whether we are letting them have the opportunity.
So we need to maybe ask legal to come over. Can we take a recess
sure,
for five
sure.
minutes? Is that okay? You've
no,
got
I
a 3:30.
So technically, the hearings officer decision is still appealable to the board, and the board's decision is still appealable to the courts. So the 21 days begins when the order is signed. We have not signed an order yet. We instead not reversed the decision, but since
we
didn't sign the order,
right.
and we're sending it to a hearings officer, that 21 days has not begun. So technically, we have to keep that dog alive statutorily until we have that hearing officer hearing, which is appealable to us, which is appealable to the court. And until we sign our order after the hearings officer, after us, that's at which point the 21 days begins.
Right.
So I don't think, while in your absence, that I need to say, yep, put it down. I think we need to, if they're willing to pay the 21 days and wait the 21 days.
See, we don't have that in the order. They don't have direction in the order that they're paying for the appeals time.
We can't say that. Until we deal with
I'm just
the
going by what Wally said about the 21 days.
No, you're right about the 21 days, but who's paying for it is key, and yeah. they're not paying for that because we didn't stipulate
right
that.
But that doesn't change that we still have the 21 days.
I don't think that we can avoid that 21 days.
What will be the determination is what the hearings officer decision is. If it's appealed back to us, if it's appealed to court, the courts could overturn.
We have to go back to the point of signing the order. We haven't approved that. The 21 days hasn't started. I'm gone for 10. That's not 21 days. That's 31
days. 31
days.
Check. Well, yeah.
But I'm uncomfortable with just saying, you know what, I'm gone for this. Can I add another 10 days to it? So put the dog down before I leave. I don't think I'm...
No, I can't do that, but I would like to start the 21-day process if that's the case, if we're incurring that cost.
So we want to start the 21 days.
They want to appeal it to a court. They don't have the option yet until we sign that order.
What's
it but we
signed
to a hearings officer today.
What a disaster. I wonder if a hearings officer is going to receive this and say, there isn't an issue here. I don't have an order. Well,
no, the hearings officer is starting from scratch.
I'm trying to equate it to a planning thing where LUBA can't hear something until we've codified a decision and written, signed an ordinance.
Except we're kind of took
different.
It a backstage where
yeah.
we're going, okay, we weren't agreeing, let's go back to the hearings officer. They're going to start from scratch and see the whole hearing
right.
from scratch. They're going to make a determination of which that can be appealed to us.
Okay. less than perfect, but that's what we did.
So it's on hold until we get back or we hear from a hearings officer and what their intentions are after that judicially, correct?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you clarified that before.
I guess so. Anything else?
The only thing I was going to say is out of the legislative telephone conference this morning, the Forest Trust Land Transfer Bill and the Assessment Surcharge Bill neither gained a hearing, so are dead.
Yep. So okay.
3:25, we are adjourned.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks.